There was three-quarters of the bottle of whiskey left when Michael, still in his flying clothes, stumbled out to where Andrew's motorcycle was parked. The ride in the cold night air cleared his head, but left him feeling brittle and fragile as old glass. He parked the motorcycle behind the barn and went to wait among the bales of straw. The hours, marked by the church clock, passed slowly, and with each of them his need for Santerne grew until it was almost too intense to bear. Every half hour he would go to the door of the barn and peer up the dark lane before returning to the bottle and the nest of blankets. He sipped the whisky, and in his head those few seconds of battle in which Andrew had died played over and over, like a gramophone record that had been scratched. He tried to shut out the images, but he could not. He was forced to relive, time and again, Andrew's last agony. "Where are you, Santerne? I need you so much now." He longed for her, but she did not come, and again he saw the sky-blue albatross with the black and white checkered wings bank steeply onto the killing line, behind Andrew's green aircraft. And yet again he glimpsed Andrew's pale face as he looked back over his shoulder and saw the Spandau's open fire. Michael covered his eyes and pressed his fingers into the sockets until the pain drove out the images. "Santerne," he whispered, "please, come to me." The church clock struck 3 o'clock, and the whiskey bottle was empty. "She isn't coming." He faced it at last, and as he staggered to the door of the barn and looked up at the night sky, he knew what he had to do to expiate his guilt and grief and shame.